On this Chag, on Sukkot, and on this Shabbat, we are enjoined to read a book, one of the books of the Bible, called in English Ecclesiastes and in Hebrew Kohelet. And Kohelet is an unusual book for lots of reasons. But there is one thing that Kohelet says that we may think of as unusual that I would like to recast as normal and necessary. That is, Kohelet, who the tradition, by the way, identifies with Solomon, says this was written by Solomon. Kohelet says that the world so perplexed him that he decided to go out and investigate the truth of things and try to figure out some of the mysteries of the world. And the mysteries that perplex Kohelet are the same things that worry us. In his famous phrase, "Why the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong," why it is that time and chance happens to everyone, why things seem useless and futile, all those questions that haunt human life in Kohelet's time and in our own. What is remarkable about the book, though, is that Kohelet says, I'm going to go out and try to figure this out. Because in the Bible and in religion in general, if someone says, I need the answer to a central mystery of life, where are they supposed to turn? To God, to the Torah, to tradition. But Kohelet doesn't do that. Kohelet says, I'm going to try to figure this out. In other words, in the Bible itself, we have a statement that the mysteries of life can be explored and explained by human reason, by our own ability to understand and work through a chain of logic, supposition, hypothesis, theory, and come to a conclusion about the world around us. It may not surprise you that Judaism thinks of itself as a very rational tradition. And after all, when we were putting together, for example, the centennial booklet, since this is our 100th year, and we were inviting notable Jewish personalities from all over the world, what was the first question everybody asked is, who are we going to get to lecture? Who's going to teach us? The idea being that when Jews gather together for a good time, they do it with a book and a talk. Not, by the way, everybody's idea of a good time. The rabbis assumed in the afterlife, what are you going to do? You're going to spend your time at Yeshiva Shel Ma'ala, which means the yeshiva on high. In fact, in his book on books, on the canon, on Jewish books, Moshe Halbertal says that his Talmud teacher said to him, this is really what heaven and hell is about in Judaism. It's all yeshiva shel ma'ala. It's all studying Talmud. For people who love Talmud, it'll be heaven. And for those who don't like to study, it won't. The study of Talmud, though, and I say this with full consciousness of the fact that as I walked around with the Torah, I discovered that my first Talmud teacher, Rabbi Bergman, from the University of Judaism, is here. So I better get this right, because diplomas can be recalled. The study of Talmud itself is a tribute to reason. There is even a term in the Talmud, a svara, which means common sense, reason, logic. In fact, there are a couple of places in the Talmud where it says, I can get this from the Torah, or Ibayitema, if you prefer, I'll get it from Svara, from common sense, which means that there were people studying and writing the Talmud at the time that preferred to derive conclusions of life from common sense and not from Scripture. You don't have in Judaism the tradition where you say to somebody, what is the answer to that question? And you open the Bible and whatever verse jumps out at you is the answer. Because in our tradition, the Bible is always ringed around with commentary. Always put through the fine grinding mill of the Jewish mind. I bring this up not only because Kohelet is such a wonderful illustration, but also because of what's going on today. In religious life, and for that matter, in political and social life, there is a certain turn against the operations of reason, of which we as Jews should be aware and a little concerned. By that I mean not that there is a renaissance of spirituality in Judaism, which there is, which is a good thing, because we are not minds alone, we're hearts and souls. And music and meditation and mysticism, all of those things in different combinations have always been part of the Jewish tradition. But what distinguishes us is that we are, as the Targum puts it early on in the Bible, the speaking animal. God created us as the creatures that can talk, that can use reason, that can abstract from things, that can comment, that can work through, that can experiment. At the heart of the Christian faith is Tertullian's creed. Tertullian, one of the great church fathers, said, the heart of Christianity is, I believe because it is absurd. In other words, it contradicts reason, that's why I believe it. There is no such statement in the Talmud. Things are supposed to make sense. And if they don't make sense, then you have to go back and learn them again. And for things that you cannot solve, for questions to which we do not have an answer, the Talmud doesn't say there's no answer. Or just close your eyes and believe. It says when Eliyahu comes back, teku, which by the way, in modern Hebrew is a draw, or in chess, a stalemate. Teku stands, we are told, for Tishbi Yitarech Kushyot Ubayot, that when Eliyahu comes back, he'll give us the answer to all the questions we can't figure out. It's not that there isn't an answer. It's just that we're not smart enough yet. We're not there yet. We don't have the right svara, enough common sense. When people come into the public sphere and say that what should be taught in science classes should be based on faith, Jews should know better. This is, after all, the year after Maimonides' 800th Yahrzeit. Maimonides, who used to say, by the way, and says in his Mishneh Torah, that people who take the Torah and wave it over children to cure them, which apparently was a practice in his time, are making a mistake because they think that the Torah is a refuat haguf, is a healing for the body, ve'enam, and it is not. It's a refuat hanefesh, it's a healing for the soul. Maimonides, who was a doctor because he believed in the curative powers of science, which is another way of saying the powers of the human mind. Maimonides, who said on a svara, which is by common sense, that astrology, because he believed it was forbidden, must be false, because God would not forbid anything that was true. This is a highly rationalistic intellectual strain in the Jewish tradition. And it is an important one, that we lose to our own peril. If you notice, a recent biography of Maimonides was published and points out that the Jewish tradition not only has a lot of doctors today, but did even in the Middle Ages. There were countries where, although Jews were 1, 2, 3% of the population, half of the doctors were Jews. It's not only Maimonides' example. It's also because we believe in reason, in science, in the human mind, as a gift from God that we ought to use. I know, as do you, that ultimately reason can't answer the questions that Kohelet was asking. You can't reason your way to the pain of why there is loss in this world. And I remember I used to stand up before classes at the University of Judaism and teach them Jewish theology. I'm teaching this class in the winter semester at UCLA, and I'm sure I'll have the same experience. I stand in front of the class and I give them all the proofs for God. And you put up the, I won't go through the proofs for God, I will spare you that. But you put up all the premises and you say how someone derives the proof and why it makes sense to believe and all of that. And when I finished the class, I never had a student go, ah, now I believe. Because the deepest convictions of life don't come from reason. Faith, loss, what you should do in this world, why you should wake up in the morning, there's no way you can reason your way to that. But building on the bedrock of faith, we're given minds. We're given a tradition whose central symbol is a book. And learning and teaching and transmitting the tradition is at the heart of our prayers every single day, several times a day. So it is our task to carry the banner of learning and of reason and of mind through this world, not in the absence of spirit, but alongside spirit. When Rab Eleazar was buried in the Talmud, they said that a Sefer Torah ganuz, that a scroll of law was buried away, which is another way of saying he was so learned, he had so absorbed the teachings, the values, the ideals of the Torah, that it was as if he had himself become a book. And it was considered a compliment, the highest compliment. In other words, not only had Reb Elazar fulfilled the potential that God had given his soul, but realized the possibilities that God had given his mind. When we look at Jews in professions, in science, in all fields of learning, and marvel at their accomplishments, the truth is, it goes back to Maimonides and beyond. It is a tradition of believing that the greatest gift is that we can look out at God's world and we are given the ability, some of the way, to figure it out. It is true. At the deepest times and moments of crisis and of faith, a syllogism doesn't help. A logic course won't get you through. When we say the Shema, we close our eyes, because sometimes by closing your eyes, you see things that you can't see with your eyes open. But we only close our eyes for an instant. And when we open them, there before us is this multifarious, beautiful, complex world waiting to be figured out. Maurice Samuel, who was a Jewish teacher and scholar, who lived in the 20th century and died in the second half of the 20th century, used to say that he knew why, after thousands of years, the Jewish people were still around. He said, "You see, we have this mania, this need to figure stuff out. And so we said to God, until the mysteries of this world are unraveled, we're not going anywhere. And so we're still here, but the task remains not only to feel the world, but to think the world, because thinking is good too." Shabbat Shalom.